Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start,
Nathan.
Bench, Cut.
Sorry, Nathan.
That's okay. I made the listeners money. Mac hasn't done so yet.
You know what? And Mac,
good call.
I don't know who's probably more down bad today, Mac Morey or Alex Gold.
Well, Mac's in
we may never
Cancun.
See Mac again.
Yeah.
He had the Ravens still winning the North. He had Travis Hunter as a bust. He's a diehard Chiefs fan.
Good week for him to be gone.
Yeah, the Chiefs is the best team in the NFL, as Max Pack.
He did. Getting a glimpse to see a little bit of what Travis Hunter could do on both sides last night. That guy's fun to watch.
Yeah.
I hope they deploy him more in Jacksonville now that the Chiefs have played them.
Yeah, right, exactly. Which, by the way, total like behind-the-scenes thing, you're doing Max Pack tomorrow, Nathan, so be ready to have those five teams that Mac won't.
We'll get into it. The Chiefs will not be number one.
Oh, okay. All right. It's fair. You ready, Dustman?
I'm ready. Start Pitch Cut brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Get in the know with Jay's Southland Tow. Start Pitch Cut, Cochran, Butker, Jones.
I'm starting Jones.
Okay.
I'm benching Cochran, and I'm cutting Butker.
I can't decide who I want to cut between Cochran and Butker.
Yeah.
There's no use for either of them if they're playing this way.
Right. I'm kind of with you on that, but I think – you know, for me, cutting Butker, he's had a direct impact in all three losses, a major impact in all three losses. Jack Cochran made a couple of holding penalties last night. Now, if it were real life we're talking about cutting, I would cut Jack Cochran today. I absolutely would. The Jets have done it twice this season. Now, they're 0-5, not that you do everything that the Jets do, but sometimes you just need to send a message.
I would bench Butker if a backup kicker is something teams had just because of the clutch moments he's had in the postseason.
Okay.
Moving on and Start Pitch Cut, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow. Coach of the Year nominees, maybe. Liam Cohen, Mike Vrabel, or Steve Steichen over in whatever the hell you say his name in Indianapolis.
Oh, that guy. I was like, who is that guy?
Is that his name, Steichen? Steichen?
You have S-T-I-C-I-O-N. I'm like,
Stitcoin.
I have no idea who Bitcoin
Shane
is.
Steichen.
Shane Steichen. Is he the
Samsonite.
Indy guy? Or is he the jackass from Philly that punched the player? And what was that guy's name who apologized yesterday?
Never heard of him.
Gannon. And he said, I don't love the look of that.
He said he woke up feeling bad about it. Apologize to DeMarcado and said, I out of mind, out of, you know,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So feed the man the rock.
I'm going to start Liam Cohen because I think the award is who's the best new head coach. That's what the award is.
Jacksonville's never started 4-1 with a new head coach.
The Jets have never started 0-5.
That's fair. I did not take the Jaguars seriously until last night.
Yeah.
So I think you have to consider Liam Cohen for that award. I think Shane Steichen's done the best job, but since he is not new to that team, I'm going to bench him. And then cut Mike Vrabel. I think the league should know that he's a good coach by now, although he should be in discussion for the award, especially if Drake May continues to blossom.
If this is coach of the year, I know how the voters vote. New England is on the East Coast, so I'm going to start Mike Vrabel. I'll bench Liam Cohen, and I'll cut Shane Steichen.
Who's Gary Myers voting for?
Yeah, that's the big question, right? Gary Myers does not want anybody to win coach of the year. Oh, I don't know. I don't think there's anybody worth it. Okay.
I didn't even look at this on DraftKings. These are your top three candidates for coach of the year. Shane Steichen, number one. Liam Cohen, number two. Mike Vrabel, number three.
Well, yeah.
With Kyle Shanahan, as Kyle Shanahan is number four on the list.
He should be in the conversation. He's done an amazing job this year.
I believe the Jaguars have matched their win total from last season. And the other two teams aren't far off.
I mean, the Chiefs have already surpassed their loss total from last year's regular season. How about Dan Campbell at plus 1,000 in fifth? Because he doesn't have coordinators?
I don't know.
I mean, Andy Reid, where's he at? Oh, yeah, he's
last.
No, he's not.
Oh.
He's plus 6,000. There are 7 coaches below him.
Oh, okay.
But that's because most of those coaches will be fired.
Yeah.
More so on start, bench, cut. How about possible MVP candidates? And these names are serious.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Daniel Effin Jones.
Well, I'll start Goff because he has the Super Bowl experience. I'll bench Baker, and then I'm cutting Daniel Jones. He is far from an MVP, but playing great this year.
You know who the number one seed is in the AFC right now?
Colts.
That's right.
I'm still going to cut Daniel Jones. Sorry.
Indiana Jones is out?
He's out of there. New York Jones, Indiana Jones, they're all out of there. I'm going to start.
What about Chris Jones?
Well, I started him as well in start bench cut.
Would you rather have Chris Jones or Indiana Jones?
I would rather
like
have
the actual Indiana Jones?
Wow. Yeah.
Or like Daniel Indiana Jones?
Either.
Oh, man.
I'd rather take Indiana Jones than just about anybody in the NFL. Imagine having
Indiana
Jones on your team.
The first three movies of Indiana Jones. I don't need Crystal Skull and whatever that last one was. I don't need those two. But, man, Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark? Are you kidding me?
Let me start Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
He's 4 game-winning drives in the 4 wins. And the other loss, he almost had a 5th one. So I think the narrative could be he's very clutch later in the season if the Bucs are competing for a 1 seed. And I'll bench Jared Goff, cut Daniel Jones.
Next one goes to wide receiver ones in the NFL when it comes to leading stuff. There's this guy.
But Baker Mayfield also did it without his number one wide receiver, Mike Evans. And you got to give credit to this rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Emeka Egbigbu, going for over.
So that guy, Abuka is how you say his name, Puka or JSN. So Puka, Abuka, or JSN.
I'll start Puka. I picked him to win the offensive player of the year before the season. I think he's led to that. JSN, I'll bench him. Shout out JSN. You're carrying my fantasy team right now. He's been fantastic. And it sucks to bench him, but I'm going to bench Egbigbu.
I'm actually going to go in that in the order that you don't have. Well, no, I'll go in that order. Puka first. Start him. He's got a lot of experience.
He's just a stud, dude.
I will bench Gronk's guy, and then I will cut JSN. Yeah, Puka's so good.
He just knows what he's doing, man. He's just, you know.
Well, that's the thing. He knows what he's doing. Very smart football player.
Emeka Egbigbu.
That or Mike McDaniel's press conference.
They're both tough.
Emeka Egbigbu.
Well, we move on to running backs. Jonathan Taylor, James Cook, or Travis Etienne?
I'm about to start Jonathan Taylor.
Based I don't on know why you can't. Once he got 6 touchdowns in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I tried to think of a reason why I couldn't. I mean, the narrative was he had kind of fallen off the last few years, and he looks fine.
Great.
I'm going to bench James Cook, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think I prefer him over Travis Etienne. The Chiefs held him to 49 yards last night. He was a non-factor. The bad thing is Trevor Lawrence was their leading rusher and took off 10 times and was effective every single one of those plays. Yeah, I'll go Taylor, Cook, and Etienne.
Taylor, Cook, Etienne. Yeah, that's kind of the order I would go as well. Yeah.
Start, bench, cut. These are your 3 wildcard teams after 5 weeks in the season. The Jags, the Broncos, or the Patriots?
I'll start the Patriots. I'll bench Denver, and I'll cut the Jags.
Okay.
I think I'm going to flip-flop on the bench and the cut there. Definitely starting the Patriots because of their leader. I trust all of these teams' defenses, but I think I trust – man, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think I trust Trevor Lawrence a little more than Bo Nix in a big moment.
Okay.
When you go to your division leaders, excluding Buffalo, because I think we would all start Buffalo no matter what, these 3 teams are the division leaders, Colts, Steelers, Chargers.
Starting Pittsburgh, benching Chargers, cutting Colts, all based on leadership.
My gosh. The Chiefs are going to go on the road in the wild card round and dominate somebody.
They are. Oh, yeah. Otherwise, they're on pace for 6-7 schedule.
It'll be the 6th or 7th seed probably.
Bob hates me.
No, I don't. I'm glad you're embracing it. The fact of the matter is nobody knows what the F it means.
It means so-so.
No, it doesn't.
The kids don't even know what it means.
The kids don't know. You asked them. You flat out asked them, like, I'll give you $100 if you tell me what this means. They can't tell you. It's their yada yada is what I've kind of taken it as.
I think I'm going to start Pittsburgh, and then I'll bench Indy. I'll cut the Chargers just because of the injuries that continue.
That's a good point, too. They continue to have injuries, man.
Ooh. All right. Today's National Taco Day.
Is that why LeBron's speaking today? Has he spoken yet?
No, it'll be like 7 o'clock Eastern time.
You think he's going to come out and speak about basketball? Do you think it's going to be tacos? Do you think it's going to be life? Like, what do you guys think?
A lot of rumors say it's the only time ever a father, son, have retired in the same moment.
Okay.
National Taco Day, what do you like better, the soft shell, the hard shell, or the street style shell?
Street style in a long, long, long margin, then soft shell, then hard shell.
No, no, it's same thing. Keep the other too far away from me. Street style all day.
Start, bench, cut, the filler of the taco, beef, chicken, steak. Or they say carne asada.
Yeah, you got to go, because I was like, beef, steak, and beef are kind of the same.
Yeah, I'm starting any sort of carne, steak, whatever you
want
to call
it. Carne asada, then I'll go chicken, and then I'll leave the beef at the
end. Don't sleep on the pulled pork taco.
Oh. So good.
When you come to sauces on the taco, you go verde sauce, a regular like red salsa, or just a little pico, the little chunk.
Verde pico salsa. I'm a sucker for green sauce.
You and I align on tacos, Bob. Same thing here.
Yeah, when I get enchiladas, I want the green.
The green enchiladas, man.
That's what I made that you couldn't have.
When I had those for the first time in South Texas, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. Oh, the green chicken enchiladas, and then you get a hot tortilla and soak up the sauce because that's what you need with butter on it. Oh, so good.
Yeah, somebody says, start, bench, cut due to Trevor Lawrence, nose picking, ears picking, teeth picking.
Yeah, just start the
ear. You ever see somebody just drilling at it?
I mean, that guy, he's lucky they won because we'd be seeing memes all morning long of Trevor Lawrence looking like a dope on the sideline digging for gold up there.
Or he doesn't get up off the ground there after falling down, after being caught picking his nose. It's over for Trevor Lawrence.
Right, I mean, were you hoping he, because I was yelling at the TV, eat it, eat it. Eat it. I'll bet you $50 the Smales kid eats it. Eat it. Eat it. Come on, Trevor. You can ask Jen. I'm sitting there chanting, eat it, at this guy, hoping he ate his booger. And she's like, why are they keeping the camera on him this long? I'm like, exactly. They want to see if he eats the booger.
They know what they have.
They know. I mean, you got a starting quarterback in the NFL picking his nose like that on the sidelines. You're waiting for him to go in and devour that booger.
Oh, gross. The Family Guy scene where he picks his nose, goes over to Meg. Love you. Coming up next, we get to a guy that we love, Josh Klinger. He'll join us at 9:30. We'll get back into what that game was last night. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports. Another stat from the AP. This was the first time that the Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens all lost in the same week since week 9 of
last year,
2017.
Oh, wow.
When Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson were in college and Patrick Mahomes hadn't taken a single NFL snap.
I love it.
That's how dominant the AFC is.
That is great. That is a great stat right there. See, those are the fun stats, like that puts the thing into perspective and tells you how dominating it's been for all three of these teams over the last, 10 years or so. And so, it things happen, things go cyclical at two. I can't wait to talk to Josh in about 10 minutes. Hopefully he's up and find out what it was like, not only on the sidelines last night, but on that flight home that landed at like 2:30 this morning at KCI. So
great day to sleep. Honest conversation between you two and myself.
All right.
Are you more concerned, honestly, more concerned with Chris Jones or Harrison Butker moving forward? Because Butker didn't miss any extra points last night, right? Drilled the ball.
Right.
But the biggest mistake he made is when he couldn't make a mistake.
Right.
And we don't normally see that from him. We also don't normally see this sort of stuff from Chris Jones, right? Week one, tried to take the lane away from Justin Herbert, cost him the game. Last night, Trevor Lawrence falls down. Chris Jones might as well have fell down with him. I don't know where I lie right now when I look at my concern, because both are vital pieces to this team. And you look at Harrison Butker, who's been nails every single time and trusted. Now he's not. You look at Chris Jones, leader of this team, going to be a Hall of Famer, going to go down as one of the greatest Chiefs of all time. Concerning play. One sack, 8 tackles on the season.
I know. 8 tackles on the season is a remarkably low number. But where I am, I'm more concerned with Harrison Butker, because I honestly believe the kicker could have a much bigger impact on a game because their moments are so much more crucial than they are for a defensive tackle, right? Like, obviously, Chris Jones can impact the game. Another sack, another big play changes the whole dynamic of that game. But when you kick the ball out of bounds or you're missing points, you're leaving points on the field, tangible points that are being left there on the field, and you're doing tangible things that you can see with your eyes of kicking the ball out of bounds, I have to go with Harry on this one. I do, because it's easier, if you will, to make that snap judgment than it is on a defensive tackle, right?
I'm not as concerned about Chris Jones, despite what happened on the last play last night, because the way he affects the game has never really been about counting stats, about tackles, about sacks. And so I can look at it the way we looked at Travis Kelce in the first 2 weeks. Like, I look at Chris Jones and say, hey, the play last night was unacceptable at the end. Also, losing contain in Sao Paulo was unacceptable. Travis Kelce also made two massive mistakes in two losses. Mm-hmm. I trust both of those guys to sort of, I mean, lock in, for lack of a better phrase, regain their focus, reset. Butker, it seems more like he doesn't have that ability. It's more of a he's lost it issue. And I'll say, like, up until this year, even when Butker has been injured, you trust the kicking game of the Chiefs. And we kind of got used to that. And when the other team's kicker's out there, it's the opposite. You think, oh, he might miss this. In last night's game, I felt the exact opposite for the first time. Cam Little kicked a 52-yard field goal, and I assumed it, like, it was an extra point, like an old extra point before they moved back to the 15-yard line. Like, it looked like it would have been good from 80.
Right.
The guy just drilled it from over 50. And as, you know, you and I think Josh Briscoe talked about earlier, the Chiefs punted instead of kicking a 60-yard field goal, and that's not what the rest of the league is doing. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm more worried about Harrison Butker.
And that's a big reason why I am, too. I keep likening him to a closer in baseball. Shelf life, 3 to 4 years. Not much more than that for closers. Mariano Rivera was the exception to the rule, right? Everybody else comes. Look at Wade Davis, right? He had 3 years, excuse me, and then that was it for him. So players lose it, and I think it's easier for a defensive tackle to quote unquote get it back than it is for a kicker. It's such a mental thing with a kicker. And Nathan, you've mentioned this now a couple of times about they punted instead of going for a 61-yard field goal. That kind of tells you the confidence that maybe they now have in Harrison Butker. The confidence is they're thinking about what if he doesn't make it. Where in the past, you didn't think about what if he doesn't make it. You just went out there and played. Now, if he doesn't make it, it's great field position, and you're doing a disservice to your defense at that point in time. So they punted in that situation because, quite honestly, it made the most sense for all of the things when you start to add them up of what you're capable and feel good with Harrison Butker doing, and they don't feel good with him from that distance anymore. And if that's the case, then it's time to look around, because these kickers now that can kick from that distance are a dime a dozen in the NFL.
Dusty?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just concerned with Chris Jones, because 8 tackles, 1 sack, the way he finished last night, like, to me, that seems like more of a checkout move than it is I'm getting dominated or I'm fatigued move. I mean, literally standing there. And a guy that plays against you was literally in a fetal position on the ground, got up, and then ran in and scored.
And even lied there on the ground and thought, should I get up and throw this? Or should, like, there was time.
Yeah. And I just, you know, we haven't seen this much of a falter from Butker consecutively. Like, we know that there was a couple years ago where he couldn't hit an extra point, and then it was like 3 weeks into it, and then it was right back, and you're like, okay, Butker's back.
Well, with Butker, though, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Both of the years that he struggled, last year a little bit and then a few years ago, were both years that he was working through injuries.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He injured his ankle to start the season, on literally the first kick of the season, and then struggled later on that year. And the team came out later and said, yeah, that affected him all year. He didn't really miss a lot of time, though. And then last year, blew up his knee, and he went down to his knee for the rest of the season. This is the first time that we've seen him struggle that we can't say, yeah, it's because of this.
Right. And you know what? Maybe it is because of injury or something like that. Let us know.
Right.
Like I know these teams are so stealth when it comes to protecting everything and injuries and all this kind of stuff, right? But this is a different town. If Harrison Butker was hurt, people would rally around him and be like, he's hurt, it's going to be okay, we've got his back. Or maybe it's between the ears at this point. And that's usually what it is with the athletes. And that's a scary thing. The between the ears stuff is like, ugh, I can work on the physical stuff. I can get you to change your plant foot and all that kind of stuff. Gotta take years for me to get inside your noggin. Like, just for anybody, it takes years, you know? That's why if you find a therapist, you hope he doesn't die like mine did. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just being honest with you, it takes years to develop that relationship and feel comfortable, you know, talking to somebody. So the between the ears is the biggest muscle in the body that is the hardest to train. And that's the sad part for me when I look at athletes. Once they lose it between the ears, man, it's hard to get back. Physical stuff you can correct. I don't know if it's a physical thing with Harrison Butker. I think it's a mental thing at this point in time.
Yeah, it just goes back to the whole saying of, I think it's when you look at what it is, it's the yips.
Yep.
It's golf. Like, there's guys that it's interesting too, because you look at golfers in the past, like David Duvall. He was number one in the world during the Tiger heydays, you know, and then something happened. He, you know, tried to change his swing, tried to fix something, tried to add distance, and then we just never saw Duvall again. You look at guys
What was his name?
David Duvall.
Duvall.
That's fair. So, I mean, you look at stuff like that, and, you know, there's – I don't know if there's people out there, but – maybe you give a guy that was a local college kid a chance to come in here and Mevis and see what he can do. I know he was the thicker kicker at Mizzou.
I think you bring in everybody on the streets.
You've got that Koo kid that kicked in. I think he got signed, though, by the Giants.
Oh, no, he got signed and then cut the next day because they used some backup guy. Yeah.
Then you had that Moody kid who was in San Francisco. Maybe he needs a new place,
Jake
new face.
Moody, moved off from him quick.
Yeah, they did. Dustin Hopkins, he's out there. So again, there's all these guys that maybe you could bring in. Greg Zuerlein, he played college ball at Mo West. Like, he's a local
Greg the
guy.
Greg Zuerlein.
That's right. So, I mean,
he kind of lost it at the end, too.
Well, it's
right?
All these people that say, give me a backup kicker. Then if it ain't Butker, well, you could give us some, too. Who do you want to see? Those are two things that I mentioned. Like, Mevis was a local kid, kicked at Mizzou. Zuerlein was a kid, went to Mo West, won a national title there. He's a free agent. Anybody could come in and show some sort of competition, and maybe Butker would be like, oh, crap, I got to look over my shoulder. I don't know if that works, but I am concerned with Chris Jones, because one thing that we knew about Chris Jones is that he was a force and he created things for others. He's not doing that.
No.
And I also have been one of those guys that I'm super disappointed in the contract they gave George Karlaftis, because it's not working out and it doesn't look like it was a move. But again, some funny audio last night is Heidi Gardner joined the Manning cast and she was on right at the worst time.
I mean, she said pass, so she's in for a pass. Juju.
Oh,
no.
A pass.
Oh, no.
It's Juju.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No. No. No. Not that.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
No. Oh, no. He's still going. No.
Alan, go get him. Go get him, Thornton. Get him, Thornton.
Oh, he's going to fumble it. Oh, my goodness gracious.
They wanted a run. The Manning brothers did. Heidi Gardner said they're going to pass it. Boy, was she right. And then it was so wrong. So. Tough to see there. And then
it's funny because the Mannings are right to run it. Heidi Gardner's also right. Go, no, they're throwing.
Yeah.
I've seen this before.
She's watched the Chiefs her whole life. And then after that play, we all turned into Mike McDaniel.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like, he's as I was. And, you know, we talked about the,
I don't know what
the
this
challenge
is.
Ahead, to get ready for, the Chargers. That was kind of the extent of it.
He's traded sleep for tennis elbow and Bob for high school kids.
That's John Klinger.
But he's still the best in the business down there on the sidelines.
Let's go to the sideline. There's Josh Klinger.
It's Watson. Yeah, twice tonight. Justin Watson gets the big play. Jalen Watson gets the big play.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network sideline reporter Josh Klinger with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It's our man, Josh Klinger here, or John Klinger. Cooter. Kling, you more concerned with Chris Jones, or are you more concerned with Harrison Butker?
I mean, the Harrison Butker thing is just, it's just unbelievable. I had a great view of that kick, and, you know, we were kind of discussing, you know, just they have a good return game. They've returned well, blasted out of the end zone, give up a little bit of field position, not that kind of field position. And then the kick just had no... I mean, it had no margin for error. It was going to be bounce out of bounds or nothing, really. I mean, he put it in a spot where really you could only bounce out of bounds unless you had a, you know, a perfect football bounce, which when does that, you know, ever happen? So that kickoff was baffling. Yes, you still have to put out the fire if you're the defense and stop things, but it felt like that was kind of doom to not just execute something that seemingly for a professional kicker would be pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, Josh, responsible, at least in a small way, for every loss this season.
And you just don't have that confidence when the kick happens. I mean, right. you're thinking, okay, can you tie the game at one point, right? You ended up taking a lead, but if you're going to tie the game, are you going to have to leave it on the foot of Butker, and is he going to be okay? Because it just doesn't feel – you don't feel the confidence you did, you know, before that every chance at a scoring play he was going to be delivering. You're watching every extra point right now, and you're watching every kickoff even right now. So yeah, it's been a struggle in that regard. There are plenty of blame to go around. Certainly, you know, that video of the fall down, get up, whatever yeah. the Jags are going to call it, slip six or something. I think they were trying to pull last night from the Jaguars' perspective. There wasn't a good look in terms of, you know, effort staying with the play, because you know Trevor Lawrence stayed with the play, mm-hmm. and look what it got him. So it's kind of a message for everybody that. You got to stick with it, right? Even if you're on defense, because sometimes you can come in and make a play when it counts.
What was the vibe like from the sidelines? Was there everybody kind of just upset, or was everybody kind of trying to stay focused for that final drive with 16 seconds left? What did you see from that side?
No, I mean, I think that they were, you know, they thought they're going to make a stop. I mean, this is the Chiefs, right? They've done this before. They've scored late in games that maybe hasn't always been perfect, but they scored late in games. They take a lead. They protect it. And then get out of there. And especially this defense, right? We talked a lot during the pregame. Dana and I kind of made sure we're gonna emphasize this defense, because this defense doesn't get enough praise for mm-hmm. what they get done. And so that's the side of the ball you kind of expected. Okay, when all things are left out there, you're going to figure it out. You're going to put in a stop, and you're going to end this game. And you put it in their hands, had no problem with doing that. And it just didn't work out this particular go around. You know, Trevor Lawrence played great. I don't know that they, you know, fully expected him to be able to do what he could with his feet. Even though Patrick Mahomes rushed for more yards, it felt like Trevor Lawrence was the one with the more impactful runs. Certainly the game winning touchdown, you know, aside, I thought his ability to run was the difference. It caught the Chiefs a little bit off guard. Look, they spied, you know, Jalen Hurts pretty well, Lamar Jackson pretty well, and they didn't have enough answers for Trevor Lawrence on the ground. I think he kind of caught him off guard with his ability that way.
Talk with Josh Klingler here on 96.5 The Fan. You know, the Chris Jones thing is obviously the story that everybody is talking about. Every time we look up at a TV screen this morning, Josh, they're talking about it. People are on X, obviously, kind of talking about it as well. Chris Jones is kind of like this team. When they're winning, it's great. And when things kind of go south, they don't handle it well. You know, they're not the best when things are adverse. How do they start handling adversity better as an overall team?
Yeah, it's hard because they haven't lost a lot, right? And they don't handle it very well, I don't think.
No.
I don't think any of us do, right? I'm guessing the text line hasn't handled losing very well.
Dusty?
Today, right? So
it's not Butker's fault. I'll tell you that. It's Dave Tobe's fault, is what everybody's saying on the text line.
Oh, okay.
Well,
that's right.
I'm saying none of us are great at handling losses, okay, in Kansas City. I just don't think that's a strength of ours, because it just hasn't happened very much here lately. So it's not been very good. But, you know, Chris Jones, he's a guy that has been prone to do this, that he saves himself for the big plays, and he exerts a lot of energy, and he gets when he gets, I don't want to say caught, but when that time happens where he's doesn't feel like he can make the play, it feels like sometimes he catches himself, you know, saving it for next time. And there was no next time in this one. That's the disappointing part, that was a play that you had to give an all out effort for. I would say that the pick six was that as well. I mean, a couple of guys busted it all the way down the field, mm-hmm. right? Tyquan Thornton and Juju Smith-Schuster, who the pass was apparently intended for. He hauled butt to try to get down the field and try to make a play. There were plenty of other people that weren't even moving. So it's just a matter of sometimes getting back to the basics of everybody has to chip in when it's adverse situation to try somehow, some way to make a play. They didn't get it, but I credit, you know, Thornton and Juju for making an effort to try to stop Devin Lloyd from going to the house.
Do you think this team is trying too hard?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe the first couple of games I felt that. I didn't feel it as much yesterday. I just felt like that, you know, defensively they didn't have as many answers as they had. I mean, bad breaks as well. Penalties were obviously a killer. And the penalties have been that dirty little secret, right, guys, for like a few years now. It seems like they go through these bits of time where penalties really rear their head, whether it's, you know, jumping off sides with Juwan Taylor or, you know, a bunch of penalties on special teams. Just those little things add up. And every once in a while, I think you need that message that, yeah, those things can burn you and then you need to tighten it back up. So no, I don't think it was trying too hard necessarily yesterday. I think it was kind of lack of execution that really got him yesterday.
Do you think this is Tennessee or the Raiders where this, it's early in the season, but this still could be that rock bottom game that turns everything around? Do you think this is that game? Did you get that same sense?
Well, first off, the Trevor Lawrence play, I know it was regular season, thankfully, but all I could think of was Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. And all I could think of was Marcus Mariota, right, and those weird things that nabbed you in a playoff setting. So thankfully this was in the regular season and early, but you look at the schedule and you got three home games coming up, right? Mm-hmm. And you find yourself in a position where, are you still battling to get to the point where Rashi Rice comes back? I don't know, but it just feels like that this is a key stretch of the season, that the next, really before Thanksgiving, right? Where are you going to be before Thanksgiving? I know this team has closed very, very well in December traditionally, but can you put yourself in a position before Thanksgiving with the schedule that you have, which is pretty, you know, pretty daunting. The three home games are no joke. And then the at Buffalo, we know that that's going to be a bear. So I think you're into a key stretch where protect the home surface, try to get a team that's coming on shorter rest now. Now you have the short week, quote unquote, with Detroit coming to town, a very good Detroit team. You know, find your way for the next three games to really kind of turn it around. Look, it was all great sunshine and roses just a week ago. So mm-hmm. I can't say you flush that all away at this point in time. But yesterday hopefully should be a wake-up call.
Do you have any idea why Noel Williams only played four defensive plays?
Yeah, that's kind of bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of looking at the snap count. Didn't really notice it as it was going, but saw that snap count kind of come through this morning and thought, this kid was playing awfully well. So I'm not sure if it was something in the matchups or if it changed somehow when they had to add a little more look for Trevor Lawrence in the ground game. I'm not sure if it was a matchup situation or, you know, one of those situations where you thought you were going to get somebody in a lot more than you did, because what do you get? Four defensive snaps, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was graded as the best defensive.
Kind of amazing.
He was graded as the best defensive back as a rookie in all of the NFL going into this game.
Yeah, and he's played awfully well, and they've shown no fear in throwing him out there in various situations. So, yeah, I don't know if there's going to be more to the story of that one or simply got caught up in numbers and didn't get enough PT. Not exactly sure because, yeah, the kid had been playing great.
Well, there's good things to come from this game, Josh. Offensively, they're fine offensively. That offensive line was really good last night. Their skill position players are good. Breshard Smith has emerged real nice. Like, I'm good with where the offense is, and it's only going to get better. Hollywood Brown was really good last night. There's a lot of good things to take away from this game last night, but the result doesn't lend it to do that.
Yeah, and I don't know how many, you know, they played right to the Jacksonville's hands last night.
Yeah.
I mean, Jacksonville's a team that has thrived so far this season on turning people over. The Chiefs have not been a team that has turned it over. And then the one big turnover that ends up in the pick six, you know, ends up being as much the difference as anything. I know that the last drive stinks and the Lawrence touchdown run stinks, but the pick six really turned momentum. Looked like a game once they got up 14-0 that I know – Bob, you sent me the game over text, right?
Yep.
I felt like the same way. Like they were cruising, and then to have that thing kind of ripped from underneath you, and you not be able to get your sea legs and get back and get back into that was certainly disheartening. But no, there's a lot of things going. Certainly offensively, I think defensively, just a blip because they have played really, really well for most of this season. That was one that they'd like to have back. And then obviously special teams was not good at all last night. Not just the kick, but having four penalties, I believe four of the penalties came on special teams and really kills you for field position, those types of things. Those are preventable mistakes that you need to take care of.
All right, Kling, it's National Taco Day. You got a spot in Kansas City you like or a type of taco that you enjoy the most?
Wow. I tend to be more burrito. I don't know why.
That's surprising.
Kind of. Why is that?
I don't know. You like the big burritos. You've always liked, you know, Chipotle for 20 years. I mean,
I was just like, well, that's not surprising.
No, I mean, like, you did go to Chipotle with B-Dub for like the better part of 5 years. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. There is a place on Metcalf and 100 and it's right before 435. It's called El Fajon. Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. Little place in a strip mall that doesn't look like it belongs there, but you know it's good because all the construction trucks pull up at noon, so you know you're in a good spot.
Like right before 4:35 in Metcalf. Okay, I'll have to go look for that. But I love the fact that you're telling us about this place, like, you know, that you kept the Chinese restaurant a secret for years, and then it went out of business.
That's exactly why I thought of it, because I really like the place. I don't want to go under like my favorite, my walk and roll place that went out of business because I didn't tell anybody about it, apparently.
Doubt about it. Clay, we love you. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You bet. That's Josh Klinger there for us. Coming up on the other side, we'll wrap this show, play some audio from last night's press conference to hear how down bad they were and how we can react with about 15 minutes left. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, they just got me with the coverage that they played. They had played zero kind of inside that 10-yard area in previous games, and they hadn't shown the poppers with the linebackers popping out when they were protected. And I think back to a game against Cincinnati earlier in the year that they hit Jamar Chase kind of on a slant route. And so I saw the look, and I checked to the play with the in routes, having three ends, knowing that they're going to try to pass off the guys, and Juju was going to pop wide open, and he did. But the credit to—they schemed themselves, and they kind of looked over what they could do better, and he popped right underneath where I was throwing the ball, and so it was a great call by them defensively, and obviously a great play by Zero getting the pick, and then I got to find a way to tackle him or slow him down after he gets the interception.
Look at Mahomes taking all the blame in the world for that, about not making the tackle there on that play when he was one of the few that actually tried to make a tackle on that play. But he described that play perfectly. That was not coach speak. That was not cliche. That was what – is it Devin Lloyd? Devin Lloyd, that was the play that was designed. They did a better job than the Chiefs. Sometimes you just – tip your cap to the other team. They're paid professionals. Their coaches are paid as well to go out there and do things. And they got the Chiefs. 11 guys are paid to kick your ass. He disguised that blitz and not the blitz, but the coverage. I don't recall ever seeing anything like that was so good at disguising the coverage like he did. He got legitimately lost behind his defensive lineman and then all of a sudden popped back up. And as soon as he went in, Patrick threw that ball and he was there. That's great game planning on their part.
Throw it back old school. Pick your player to pop.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Here's Mahomes on blowing the lead.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it sucks. You know, you let a game slip away. Credit to them. They played hard, and they played hard the entire game, and they got a lot of good football players. And they closed out there at the end. And so it still sucks whenever you get a lead like that and you're not able to hold it through the rest of the game.
A lot of frustration in that voice. And the man of the hour.
I thought multiple times we had him. We just got to finish. We got to finish. We had multiple guys there that we just got to finish that play. It was a fluke play for him to be able to break that many tackles. But, yeah, I think I put it on us as a defense. We got to finish. You know, we got to bring him down on that.
What play is he talking about?
Multiple plays.
No, honest to God, what play is he talking about? Because if he's talking about the last play.
The fluke play, the scramble, yeah.
He didn't break one tackle on that play. He just got up and ran in because you stopped.
He also said there was multiple of us watching. And I don't know if that was the case.
Can you play that again? Because if he's talking about the last play of the game.
I thought multiple times we had him. We just got to finish. We got to finish. We had multiple guys there that we just got to finish that play. It was a fluke play for him to be able to break that many tackles. But, yeah, I think I put it on us as a defense. We got to finish. You know, we got to bring him down on that.
He was down. All he had to do was touch him.
This was Dayton Hughes, who joined the show earlier today, who does every Tuesday at 7:20 on the show on Chris Jones' effort on that play.
Chris basically took a play off. I don't know why he did that. I don't know what was going through his head, but I do know that if you're a leader, like, it's got to show. And the film don't lie. That's one thing that I always was told. The eye in the sky does not lie. And no matter what you say in the moments, The film tells the absolute truth, good and bad. And that's something that they're going to have to look at, because to me, for him to not give that effort, you put yourself in a position where you cannot be the yelling guy on the sideline to coaches. You cannot be the yelling guy and the rally guy until you right that wrong.
So Dannon Hughes with some good words there. Mm-hmm. If you want to end on a fun note, this is Taylor Swift talking about the song Wood last night on Jimmy Fallon's show.
And it really started out in a very innocent place. You know, it started out like, I don't know what happened, man.
It went off the rails.
I got in there. We started vibing, and I don't know. I don't know how we got here, but I love the song so much.
Oh, that was so precious. I love the song so much.
Kind of described.
She's so in love with him, man. It's awesome.
Kind of described the game last night. Started off innocent, and then I don't know where it went. Kind of went off the rails.
Really Duval.
I mean, she's in a different
Duval.
Era now. We were kind of talking about this after the weekend. Maybe you and I were talking about my wife went and saw the movie, and you know, she explained all the songs in the movie. That was not one of the explanations. They cleaned up the song for the movie. That is out there right now. But I think Taylor has taken to her adult era now. She's no longer there for the high school kids, because I know my high school kids are like, Dad, what the hell was that? She don't need songs about Travis.
Yeah. Earlier in the clip, which was a few minutes long, she talks about how it was supposed to be a song about superstitions. And you don't you don't need to knock on, you know, getting around those. And yeah, then it led to Redwood.
I got Mahomes' balls in my hands.
No doubt about it.
I saw a guy tweet over the weekend, or Instagram or something like that, came across the social media. He's at the Redwood Forest and he goes visiting Travis Kelce. And I thought that was hysterical. Do you think they played that at the stadium last night? If I was Jacksonville, I would be.
I don't know. But all I can say is our show is done, which means we move on from the loss. That's and now we gear up for Detroit.
We got a big one, man.
That starts on Sunday night at 7:20. You'll get over about 11 o'clock, and, you know, there we go. So
they got to figure it out now, though. But I've got faith. You know, I know we've you know, cried and you know, gave our feelings about this game, and it sucked, and this is the most pissed off I've been in the Patrick Mahomes era after a game. But I also say to myself, I've got trust in these guys to figure it out. Until they don't, I've got trust in them to figure it out, because they always have. And I'll continue to go back to the 1-5 team in 2015 when we were watching the Royals win the World Series and nobody was paying attention to the Chiefs, and they won 10 in a row. And they didn't have Patrick Mahomes. They had a very young Travis Kelce at that time. They didn't have Chris Jones on the team. You know, Andy Reid was a very new head coach here in Kansas City. Alex Smith was still your quarterback and whatnot. So this team is more talented than that team that won 10 in a row. So that's why I'm still thinking to myself, we're okay. We can do this. We've got great leadership in place at the head coach position. Got great leadership in place at the quarterback position. We just got to get guys playing smarter. And I do think these are fixable things. These are not things that you have to say, well, we got to wait till the off season. Like, if this is baseball and it's May and nobody could get down a bunt, I was told, well, they'll work on that in spring training. Well, that it's May. Like, this isn't stuff that you have to wait till spring training or training camp to work on. These are very fixable things. With Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, I would suspect these things get fixed pretty fast.
This comes from Jay Binkley. The Chiefs are now number 3 in the NFL in penalties. So much for the refs giving them all the calls. Hey, there's a lot of you out here that can take this message to heart. Go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe. Rest up. You got a big one coming up Sunday night. Coming up next, it's Cody and Gold and Drew from 10 until 2. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We're on to Detroit.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.